Blog Talk Radio.
Between the Ropes Radio. Let's take this between the ropes. The best podcast up here, letting you know. Tyron Ashbury here to take it over. Let the man speak as he here, the break is over. We in the culture for all the news and incredible style. No other podcast explaining it now. This is the show of the dreams, information for all.
Everything you did today, especially if it was positive, hey, I can say you're definitely legendary. Also, if you're listening to Between the Ropes Radio, hell yeah, your legendary night will get amazing on this Monday night, May 11th, 2020. I'm your boy Ty Ashbury, live on blogtalkradio.com, and my live guest. If I had $90 million to give to one wrestling announcer to announce one of my shows, it would be this guy, the legendary Larry, the man, the legend. My man, what's up?
Thank you so much for that introduction, Ty. You know, I consider myself an expert at giving the proper introduction to whet everyone's appetite for the fight that they're about to see. And that was a great introduction. I dare say it was legendary. So thank you for bringing me on in that fashion, my man. And thank you for having me.
Oh, well, Larry, like I said, I got to say, you know, during this whole coronavirus thing, I've been watching episode after episode of 90 Day Fiancé. I'm like, you know, I'm tired of it. I want to get legendary. And I got to talk to my boy, Larry Legend. So this is pretty much all my respect I have for you and coming on the show tonight. And thank you very much, brother.
Hey, I appreciate it as well. I'm kind of going stir crazy. If anybody knows me and knows my credentials, I work pretty much every weekend out of the year. There's very rarely a weekend out of the year that I don't have a show that I'm doing. If it's on a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday, I'm working, and it has just been brutal. You know, trying to occupy all of that energy that I have inside of me that would be, you know, being unleashed, you know, is the best way that I can describe it. All of this energy inside of me that would be being unleashed in front of a live crowd, you know, bringing out Nick Gage or whoever, you know, the person may be. I'm just, you know, it's inside of me. It wants to be let out. So I'm glad I have an opportunity at least to share that with everybody, because I'm hurting for certain over here. You know, watching all the old Tournament of Deaths and Ring of Honor shows that I part in. It's really jarring to not be doing what it is that I love and what motivates me to be Larry Legend.
Dude, I know that's right. And how much does it really, like, drive you crazy that you can't get that opportunity right now to be announcing in front of the fans, because they're the purpose in which why you're here and what you do and being an announcer? How much is that killing you?
Well, you know something, Ty, I'm going to let you know, I think that on the same level that it's hurting, you know, a lot of fans who look forward to the monthly shows that they go to or shows that were coming up throughout the spring and summer, I'm feeling the same pain that everyone is feeling, that we wish that we could be doing what it is that we love. But I got to tell you, during this time of national crisis, it's so much more painful to hear, you know, how people are, you know, kind of setting barriers up to prevent people from getting their thing off. So as I had mentioned, you know, I've been kind of, you know, watching a lot of the old CZW shows that I'm a part of. And the last show that I did live was a show called CZW Saturday Night Special. And it happened on March the 21st. And I'm grateful that CZW is a company that could, you know, have the, you know, wherewithal and management to do a show. But the idea behind the show was it was going to be a closed set show, very similar to what we're seeing on AEW and SmackDown. And it was a private venue. And, you know, to my understanding, the reason that this show did not continue and it was scheduled to be a weekly Saturday show is because other promoters, out of spite, you know, alerted, you know, whatever authorities, whatever officials that they could, to basically be like, hey, you know, under the guise of, you know, we really want everyone to be safe. But it really was more like, well, if we're not allowed to do anything in Jersey, why should, you know, CZW be allowed to do anything wherever the location of the CZW show was? And I found this out, you know, after the fact, and I was like, wow, you know, it really hurts even more while we're in this crisis that, you know, the pettiness and the kind of immaturity that, you know, goes with the game of professional wrestling is at an all-time high because, you know, whoever is bitter that, you know, well, these guys are able to do something, but I'm not. Well, if I can't do anything, no one can do anything. And using it as like, oh, well, we want people safe. This is not safe. But if, you know, the shoe were on the other foot, you know, and, you know, it was a local show that wasn't where the CZW show was, who knows who would be able to run? Would it be an issue then? Would CZW management alert the, you know, whatever authorities about a show going on? No, because it's not about that. It's about bringing this to the people to give them that escape, bringing it to the performers so that they can have a platform to showcase their skill sets. And at this time when we're all hurting, why go out of your way to make it harder for someone else to make a living? So, yeah, I'm hurting like everyone else, but it hurts a little bit more professionally because I know from being in the role that I'm in and kind of walking the line that I walk in the wrestling industry that there's a lot of very bitter, spiteful people out there that are just like actually creating more problems during a time when all we want to do is give people a release, you know, and they don't see the bigger picture because, you know, the all about me mentality is something that also permeates the professional wrestling industry I found in my 18 years of being a ring announcer. So yeah, I'm hurting like everyone, but it stings a little bit more to know that, you know, someone that is trying to make a living just like I am, because the circumstances prevent them from doing anything, well, then they go out of their way to make sure that you can't do anything. And I firmly believe that if we all could just get along a little bit better as a community, there's no reason that the CZW Saturday Night Special show wouldn't still be doing content available for everyone every Saturday night with myself as the host. And that would have been great if I could say during this time of economic and, you know, turmoil and everything that's going on, I can still turn on WWE and see Mike Rome out there fulfilling the role of an announcer. I can turn on AEW and I can see Dasha Fuentes out there fulfilling the role of an announcer. But because, you know, somebody is just like, I want to do it too. You know, Larry Legend can't be up there right now representing Combat Zone Wrestling, doing some content that maybe isn't on the level of WWE or AEW, but content nonetheless. You know, I can't be up there hosting, doing what it is that I love, sharing what it is that I do, that I love because of spiteful small people, you know? And, I mean to embellish. I know that's how I'm doing and I'm hurting like everyone that I'm not able to do my shows. And it hurts even more to know that at a time like this, the community can't even get together. You know, the community at large can't even get together to be like, hey, let's get this thing together and let's find a place where we can and let's get our stuff off. So, you know, that's where I stand on it. I'm looking forward to eventually getting some more notches in my belt as the MC of ICW, NYWC, CZW, all of the number of organizations, violence and suffering wrestling that I host. But until then, I'm chilling and yeah, I'm hurting and trying to find ways to keep myself occupied. So again, thank you for having me on the podcast to kind of rant and rave about, you know, how I'm feeling during this time.
Hey, you know, Mr. Legend, I can tell you're definitely hurt by everything that's going on, and you brought up a lot of good things about. You talked about how, you know, people being so spiteful and trying to take wrestling away from fans, and me being a wrestling fan myself, you know, we need wrestling, and the fact that CCW is trying to do online content and still that's trying to get taken away from what you guys do, and I also recently heard that Tournament of Death, which I've been a lot of those, and I love Tournament of Death, that was canceled. So, I mean, how is that affecting you guys, because that is like the WrestleMania for you guys?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the future is going to be for Combat Zone Wrestling's live events, but I do know that the digital content wheels are still turning. Whatever revenue or interest that can be garnered during this time is, you know, there's an attempt being made, but I don't even know if we've talked about, you know, having an actual live event. And when we do get the permission to do it, I imagine that it'll be a lot like CZW Saturday Night Special. And then it's going to kind of, you know, give a lot of credence to all of that I just kind of you know, went off about, because it's like, okay, so then when we are able to do it again, it's going to be what we were doing and everybody's able to do it. So now there's not a problem. But, you know, a couple months ago when we were the only ones doing it, there was a big issue, you know? So, you know, it's, I don't even know what is in the future of CZW besides their digital content. And I am a part of that movement or that media. You know, I'm often, you know, sharing past CZW moments from Tournaments of Death and always live ringside at every Combat Zone wrestling show and kind of getting you as close as possible to the ringside action. So I know that that's something that's near and dear to me, and we're not going to let that part of Combat Zone wrestling die. CZW Studios is popping, you know, live and in living color, tons of content on there. And then of course, IWTV, you can see a lot of the CZW shows on there. And, believe there, Fight TV was the kit provider for the CZW Saturday Night Special. So lots of different avenues and lots of different places that CZW has stretched its legs out and gotten into. And I'm a part of a lot of those shows. So, you know, during this time, catch up on some of those old shows. That's what I'm doing. And stay tuned, because there will be more from CZW regarding digital content and maybe some new things that we're cooking up that I think will delight everyone.
Now, Larry, I know you, of course, one thing I can definitely tell by, because I've been to quite a few CCW shows in Philly, and nice to watch you always in Philly doing your work, and I was like, Larry is definitely the man. And this whole time with the whole coronavirus has really taught us to just stay in and find something to do, board games, cook, or whatever. And if you had to tell someone who wanted to be a professional wrestling announcer, what would you tell them that they have all the time in the world, which we do now? What would you tell them to work on to take that next step of being a professional wrestling announcer?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is I don't even know if I'm the best person to be asking that, because as you've said just, you know, before, you've seen me work. And although if you look up Larry Legend, it's going to say professional wrestling ring announcer, I really consider myself more of a host. I consider myself more of like kind of an MC, kind of a throwback to, you know, two turntables and a microphone, or kind of mixed with, you know, The Price is Right, you know, a game show. So my path to being the MC of shows was through being a ring announcer. And I mean, I guess the best advice that I have to anyone that has aspirations of being a ring announcer is that you really have to look the part, for starters. Now, you take someone like a colleague of mine, MLJ, who I think very highly of in regards to being a ring announcer, and he's gotten to a level where for a lot of the appearances that he makes, he can kind of just wear a throwback WCW piece of memorabilia, or a, you know, world-class championship wrestling rare t-shirt, and he's good enough to be able to go out there and rock that way. But if you're new to the game, well, then you damn sure better look like you're an official. As a matter of fact, I dare say the ring announcer needs to look even more official than the referee, because we are the communicators to the audience of any information that needs to be digested. And in communicating that information, the audience has to trust the voice. So one of the ways that you can gain the trust of your audience as an announcer is by being a sharp-dressed man or a really flyly dressed woman, because you know, you look at someone that's in a Joseph A. Banks signature line tuxedo and a pair of Gucci shoes with a bedazzled sparkling bow tie, you know, haircut, beard trimmed, nails manicured, with an iPad, and this guy looks official. You know, so you walk a very fine line with being too much, you know, going over the top, which I do feel that, you know, and when I look around at the lay of the land of announcers out there, I think some people do go a little overboard, you know, but it really behooves you to make sure that your wardrobe is looking like something where I'm going to be able to look at this person in the ring, probably the first person in the ring before the referee is the announcer, and this is the person that's about to start this show. and I can trust this person that if there's a fire and we need to, you know, exit the building in an orderly fashion, they're going to guide us to the nearest fire exit. Or if I'm kind of hungry watching all this action, they're going to tell me about the juicy hot dogs, you know, that are sold at the concession stand. You know, like, you need a voice that is inviting, that is trusting, that is welcoming, and you can start off on a good foot just by looking like an official ring announcer.
Now, when you, of course, when you were starting out, and I really believe that in wrestling, don't matter if you're a performer, a referee, announcer, you have to look the part. Now, when you were starting out, was there ever something that you kind of was like, well, maybe I should wear this for my presentation, and you were like, that's not going to work. Did you ever, like, how hard was it for you to find that appearance that, you know, it would work for you when you would step in the ring and start what you do best, and that's, you know, call out the action in the ring?
It's a really great question, and I'm glad that you asked it, especially based off of where we've been talking, you know, conversation-wise with MLJ, and I'm going to bring it right back to him. So when I debuted in CZW, as the personal ring announcer for the Blackout, the label, not the stable, the Blackout, which was, you know, led by three-time CZW World Champion Hall of Famer Ruckus, along with Robbie Marino, multi-time CZW Tag Team Champion and CZW Hall of Famer Robbie Marino, Chrissy Rivera, former CZW World Champion and recognized to this day as one of the best in the game, Eddie Kingston, the last of the dying breed, and the King of Diamonds, Eddie Kingston, and the Black Cheese, Sabian. At the time, he was called Sabian. We were Blackout, and I was brought in as the personal announcer or MC for Blackout. And the first time that I came to CZW, I wore a very finely tailored tuxedo because that was all that I knew a ring announcer to appear in. But after I experienced CZW for the first time and I walked to the ring with the Blackout and I felt the vibe of the Blackout, I decided to, the next time that I was called on to be their personal announcer, I was going to add a little bit more street flair to what it was that I was bringing because, you know, Blackout, or if you don't know, Blackout is all about, you know, smoking weed, listening to, you know, real hip hop, as far as Jesus is concerned, women, you know, really like a lot of women, you know, and Robin too. You know, that's the lifestyle. And I kind of felt that my first time out with Blackout, I was given more of a kind of Nation of Islam kind of like swagger. And that worked for Blackout for Larry Legend's first appearance in CZW. But for the second time, I kind of loosened up a little bit. And I was living in New York. I was a New Yorker at the time. I lived in the Bronx. And if you know New York, you know that all up and down Broadway and wherever you can find these kind of like Jimmy Jazz stores, I call them the drug dealer stores, honestly. A lot of the times you'll see like pictures of Michael Jordan and, you know, Dennis Rodman, Hulk Hogan, you know, people who've stopped passing and taking a picture with the owner. Well, those were a dime a dozen, you know, when I was making my trip to Philly to be the personal announcer for CZW. So for my second time, I blew my check. I blew my entire check from Starbucks on just like fly gear. And my second time coming out with Blackout, I looked more like I was kind of with them. I looked more like I was like about to spit hot bars, you know. So fast forward to when CZW made the offer to me to be the full-time ring announcer. Now, in my mind, the last time that the CZW audience had seen me, they had seen me with Blackout, and I was kind of thugged out. I was kind of pretty boy thugged out with them. So for my first appearance in CZW as the full-on ring announcer, I gave them more of that. I gave them more streetwear, like, you know, Tim's, crispy butter Tim's from, you know, wherever, and like, you know, labels and stuff. And yeah, I looked pretty fly. I don't know if there are any photos of me from that first CZW show where I was the first time that I was given the entire show as the announcer. I'm in like a leather parka with like fur, like a brown leather parka with fur, and like just, you look at it, I don't look like an announcer. I look like I'm with the Blackout. And man, I got all types of heat. My first official CZW show as the announcer, every single person in that locker room came up to me at one point or another and was like, where's the suit? Like, I thought you were going to wear the suit. You know, like every person from Zandig, who I'm working for the very first time, to DJ Hyde, to the rest, Brett Lauderdale, every single person, Sozio, everyone came up to me and was like, and they kind of really, like, kind of told me in so many words, you fucked up, pardon the language, but like, we were expecting, you know, the guy from Blackout that looked like the Nation of Islam, you know, Muslim guy, you know, with the tuxedo and bow tie. And you're kind of looking like you're ready to, like, sell drugs or something, you know, like, that ain't what we want, you know? So I was told in no uncertain terms that the next time that I came to CZW that I needed to be wearing a suit. And this is a little CZW trivia for everyone out there. And I was told the reason I needed to be wearing a suit was because that they were going to be filming a major motion picture at the next CZW event. So the next CZW, my second CZW event as full-time announcer was when they filmed all of the footage for The Wrestler, starring Mickey Rourke and, you know, directed by Darren Aronofsky, 20th Century Film, Fox Feature Films, The Wrestler. So management told me in the ring publicly that the next time I better be wearing a suit. Zandig came out to the ring and cut a promo, and he made sure that before he left, he said, and the next time you're in here, I better see you in a suit. And he kind of like chopped the microphone into my chest to let me know he was serious. And then I also was told that we were going to be filming that movie at the next one that I was the announcer for. So they were like, so you better be wearing, you know, wear a suit so you can be in the movie. Like if we're going to have, you know, shots of you. So I did. And it's funny, or maybe not so funny, but the second CZW event that I ever did as full-time announcer, when I bought the suit back, I got an ovation. Like everyone in Philly clapped for the fact that I was now wearing the suit again. So when it comes to, you know, what it takes to get into ring announcing, to be a good ring announcer, you know, again, you got to look the part, you got to be dressed to the nines, you got to look like an official. And yeah, make sure that you're smart, you're hip, you know, because I think that maybe my young, you know, lifestyle as a New Yorker and kind of being associated with Blackout, which kind of were, you know, troublemakers or, you know, thugs, you know, whatever you want to call us, you know. I like to call us woke, you know, like, you know, like, that spilled into me making a really poor decision for my first time as the official ring announcer for CZW. But I learned, I was told from many people, the crowd, you know, people in the back in Zandig in the ring, the next time I better be wearing a suit. And I was. And the rest is history. And fast forward, you know, 10 years, a decade later, I'm standing in the Hall of Fame right next to Ruckus and Robbie Marino from Blackout. So, yeah, that's a time where I made a poor decision, or I took a fashion risk and I lost hard. And it could have cost me being able to say what I just said if CZW was not accepting enough to be like, well, we'll let that slide. And that they did, and they've done that a lot of the times with me and in other instances, and that's why I really bleed black and yellow and rep them so hard, the 11. And this is the 7-year anniversary of my start with Ring of Honor Wrestling. So I want to just throw that out there. Well, it was an achievement, but in that window opening for me to be with Ring of Honor back in 2013, I kind of had to close the door on CZW. For quite a bit of time, because being associated with a nationally syndicated, you know, TV program, you know, it was kind of, I had to kind of cast off the Larry Legend persona and be more of kind of, you know, who the person behind Larry Legend was, you know, to fit the mold of what Ring of Honor was presenting at that time. And that involved not being seen or associated with CZW. So for a good, I'd say, 3 years, I didn't do anything with CZW, and as accepting as CZW was the first time that I kind of messed up or, you know, made not the best decision, hindsight 2020, you know, I was able to return to CZW in 2018 after, you know, my time of being associated with Ring of Honor. And I think that it's really significant that on May the 11th, 7 years later, you want to talk to me about my journey. And I just want to say, I know we don't have that much time, but I really appreciate this as kind of an anniversary celebration for me, you know, about to be in my 19th year of being an MC and announcer. Now I've got people that think enough of me to want to hear my insight, my story, my advice. And I don't think you really realize with me mentioning that this is the anniversary of a milestone in my career many years ago, that this is just as much of a milestone for me to be talking to you. So thank you again for having me on here. And I've got any more questions you have, or if you want to take this anywhere else, I've got the time. Just go ahead and give it to me. Or
I actually have to ask you, because I know you actually, I did my research. You are actually a Price is Right winner, which I think is totally cool. When I saw that, I was like,
I mean,
he's done it all. Yeah, so I was like, well, that's Larry Legend. That's what he does. You are a Price is Right winner. So I'm going to ask you, this is totally out of the blue. Now, when you went into that studio to do the show, did you already have your winner dance already planned, or, you know, or did you just like say, I'm just going to do whatever on the spot if I win anything?
So here's the thing. That was a birthday gift for my mom. My mom had never been to L.A. I had never been to L.A. And after I had sprung for the flight, the hotel, the rental, I really didn't have that much money left. And someone that I worked with at the time was like, hey, you know, one of the top 10 free things to do when you visit L.A. is go on The Price is Right. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, you just got to sign up and you can go. And I was like, there you go. You gave me something. This is going to make my mom's birthday even sweeter. Not only am I taking her to L.A., but going to go on The Price is Right and no money. So I signed up for all of that. And after I had gotten our tickets in the mail and our confirmation that we were going to be in the studio audience, it kind of dawned on me. I'm like, hey, you know what? If I get in that studio audience and I make it up there, I'm going to win. I had no doubts in my mind that because of me doing this whole trip for my mom and someone kind of just remarking that it was wanted to do something for free, you know, as a New Yorker out in LA, go on The Price is Right. I said to myself that if I get up on the stage, there's no way that I'm not going to win. And I'm a very perceptive individual, especially when it comes to what I like to call lights, camera, action. And from the moment that my mom and I were kind of like amongst the studio audience, I felt that people were like watching me. You know, I felt that, you know, even other people in the audience, like people were like watching me. And, you know, that's when I kind of leaned over to my mom as we were kind of waiting for the show to start. And I was like, hey, now if I get all the way up there, I swear to you, this is what I said. I said, if I get all the way up there and I get all the way past the wheel, I said, what's the average that main thing, the big prize, like when you get all the way to the end? I was like, what is the average that typically is? And my mom was like, she thought about it for a long. She was like, it'll probably be anywhere between $28,000 and $32,000. And I was like, $28,000 and $32,000? And she was like, $28,000 and $32,000. And I was like, okay. And lo and behold, the show starts, and they start calling those names. And the third name that they call, Larry Mercer. I was like, this is it. I was like, this is it. I am not going to be that guy that stays there the whole time. I'm like, I'm getting up on the stage, and I'm winning. And I did. So I didn't have a dance. I didn't have a dance planned, but the power of perception and the power that lies within is so real. You just have to be willing to let it out. And like I said, this all came about so organically and innocently. What can I do for my mom for her birthday? Her birthday's coming up. Okay. Hey, you know what? I've never been to LA. She's never been. You know what? Why don't we do a little mother-son vacation, you know? And I started talking about it at work, and that's when someone was like, hey, you know, while you're out there, you guys should go on The Price is Right. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, it's free. And I'm like, huh? And they're like, yeah, you know, you got to do is sign up, you know, whatever dates you're going to be there. You and your mom could be a studio audience members. And I was like, that's not a bad idea. My mom loves The Price is Right. And the person was like, yeah, who knows? Maybe you'll win, you know? And that almost like the way they said it was almost kind of like scoffing, like a challenge, you know what I mean? And like, you know, being able to read people and read rooms and things like that. I was like, you know what? Maybe I will, coworker. Maybe I will. And the rest is history. I go down in the Hall of Fame of CZW as being, a winner, grand prize winner. I've won everything except for the other person's showcase. I won everything on there that you can win besides the other person's showcase. And I did that all while I was associated with CZW. That was all before my time with Ring of Honor. So, I mean, the time that I was on The Price is Right, the most noteworthy and notable things that I had been associated with was CZW. So, you know, CZW's Larry Legend on The Price is Right.
Well, Mr. Larry, definitely without a doubt. I mean, since day one, you've been a Hall of Famer. You are a legend, of course. And the biggest thing of all is that we all know you got more, so much more to do in your career. So we all want to know, everybody, including myself, wants to know what is up next for Larry Legend.
Oh, gosh, you are really putting me on the spot. You know, I don't like to say specifically what it is that I have on deck because it just wouldn't be legendary if somehow or other things fell through and that thing doesn't come to fruition. So I got to protect my brand. And Larry Legend is not a damn thing if I'm not honest. And what I'm about to tell you right now is that honestly, I'm about to embark on a brand new avenue with the entire Larry Legend persona that is going to open the entire wrestling world up to another facet of what it is that I bring to the table. It is going to be major because nothing that Larry Legend does is not major. And I hope that everyone enjoys what is upcoming for my career and where you're going to see me next. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm sorry to do that. I'm sorry to tell you, you know, kind of like, you know, that guy. But like I said, I've got to protect my brand. I know anything can happen. Anything can happen. CZW Saturday Night Special was supposed to be a weekly series. Every single Saturday night on Fight TV, there was one episode. Why? Because stuff happens. So I'm not going to say exactly what everyone is going to get, but I am working on something that is pretty major. And I think everyone is going to be very happy to see a lot more of me and what I have to offer very, very soon. I will say within this month, the merry month of May, everyone is going to get a legendary dose of Larry Legend. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard him first. He is legendary. You will get a legendary dose of the one and only Larry Legend from CZW. Big things are going to be happening for him. And like he said, it's a surprise. We just have to wait. Mr. Larry, you are the man. And thank you for joining me here on Between the Ropes Radio with your boy Ty Asbury. You are the man. It's been an honor, man.
Real quick, shout out to ICW, No Holds Barred. I mentioned a lot of brands out there. I can't not mention them. They are near and dear to me as well. But, you know, as far as who I am right now, what I have to offer, I'm going to talk a lot about CZW, but I spread myself all out there to all the different companies that have done well by me and that, you know, fans enjoy what it is that I have to offer. So shout out to NYWC, Violence and Suffering Wrestling, Recombination Wrestling, all of the wrestling out there, CZW, MCW Pro, all of the companies that I'm associated with, the WKA, Blackout, Team Pazuzu, even though y'all turned on me, Legit Legends and everybody, Beyond Wrestling, shout out to everybody. Everybody keep your head up and just keep doing your thing. And let's just watch our friends up there on AEW and WWE thrive, and we'll be up there with them soon. Don't worry.
Man, it's much appreciated, and like I said, you are the man, and keep doing what you're doing, and hey, it's going to get even legendary with Larry Legend, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only from CCW, He's the man. What else can you say? He's the man.
Thanks for having me, bro.
And most importantly, Larry, everything, be safe, be healthy, God bless. And you are always welcome back here on Between the Ropes Radio, no doubt. This is your boy, Ty Asbury. Thank you for listening to this episode of Between the Ropes Radio. My live guest tonight was the one and only CCW Larry Legend. I'm your boy, Ty Asbury. Have a great night. Peace out. Tyron Asbury here to take it over. Let the